Before we sit down, let's pick a text, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, before we sit down. We'll pick this as a text. And all of us are going to read it together. Everybody, shall we go? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Again. Can you say it as a statement of faith? Say very loud. Is it something so all? Is it something so all? Say it again. I can do. One more time. Now clap for yourself if you can do all things. God bless you. Amen. What you are actually saying is, I can do all things through grace. That's the meaning of that statement. Amen. And I read that scripture in Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, where Apostle Paul boasted, but his boasting was in the Lord. He said, I can do all things, all, not some, all things through who? Through who? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why does he say so? John chapter 1 and verse 17. This, he said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that you can understand why he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Why? Because grace is, the meaning of grace is God-enabled ability to do anything. An enablement by God to do anything is called grace. If you do it by your own ability, it is not grace. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you can do it, then you don't need God. Anything you can do without God, that you can do on your own, then you don't need God. But the truth is this, church. Hallelujah. After the fall in the garden, when man fell in the Garden of Eden, the ability, man failed also in the ability to live a life pleasing before God. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, man lost all authority that was given to him in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Let's read it. Authority was given to man when man was created. And God blessed them, the man that he created. And God said unto them, he had the authority, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. Dominion, authority. And over the fowl of the air, authority. Not only that, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Have authority over them. Today, do we have authority even over scorpio? Do you have authority over snake? Do you have authority over any of these wild animals? When you see them, you're wrong. If one cat fall here now, cat, ordinary domestic animal, cat, some people will fall down and die. Fear. Man lost that authority. Oh, praise the Lord. And when Adam lost the authority, God attempted again. Listen very well. God attempted again in Genesis chapter 6. Hallelujah. That authority that was given to Adam was authority from God himself. Therefore, that power that he received is called grace. Praise the Lord. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3, Genesis chapter 9, let's read it from verse 1. When Adam fell, God looked for another man that he would give back that same authority. And God blessed Noah. God found Noah and his sons and said unto them, he repeated what he gave Adam. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Verse 2. Amen. And the fear of you, Noah, and all your sons, and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand, Noah, are they delivered. Verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be food for you, meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all these things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The same authority that was given to Adam, Adam lost it. God found another man, Noah. But he too lost it. Because shortly after that, he went and got drunk. Shortly after that, his family started misbehaving. Shortly after that, even his son, Ham, went to sleep with his wife. Sleep with his father's wife. All the abominations, they came back again. Oh, glory be to God. Man lost the ability to live a life pleasing before God. So he kept man perpetually separated from God. But God is rich in mercy. He still wants to relate with his children. So he said, okay, I want to relate with you. You children of Adam. He found a man by the name of Moses. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. No, he found a man by the name of Abraham first. And decided that he will through him make a nation. That nation we know today is the nation of Israel. Amen. And gave him all the promises. And God wanted them to live a life pleasing before him. How that he would be able to relate with them. Through Moses, he gave them the law. But this same law that he gave, no man has the ability to keep those laws. So the laws turned to be a curse on the children of God. Because anyone that breaks any law, a death sentence was upon them. They were dying like anything. Because man has no ability to live a life pleasing before God. Church, I want you to understand grace. No human being has the ability to live a life pleasing before God, because the life pleasing before God is called righteousness. Listen, church, and righteousness, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Righteousness is not, listen, righteousness is more than holiness. I've been stressing this for some time now. Because some people think that you are righteous with God because you don't steal, you don't lie, you don't fornicate. You pay your tithe regularly. You help the poor. You are a giver. Your eye will not behold evil. In fact, even the way you walk, everything about you is sanctimonious. That is holiness. But please, there are people who are not Christians that live the same type of life. Hallelujah. But if you are righteous, if you're a Christian, that is supposed to be your lifestyle. But this lifestyle, oh glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's only a part of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the ability to walk with God. You may be so righteous until you will not be able to hear the voice of God saying, "Let's go." You will still remain here where he is going. I hope I can make this clear. You are living a righteous life. I mean, a holy life. You pray 5 hours in a day. But if you are not able to hear God say, "Go," and be able to move with him, together with your holiness, move with him when he says move. If he moves, say move, you refuse to move with him for any reason, you are unable to move with him, he is gone. You and your holiness, you are on your own because he has gone. This is the problem with the Christian faith. So understand righteousness. Righteousness is more than dressing until no part of you is seen. Sister, Christian sister, your skirt is sweeping the ground where you are going. You don't wear a ring. You don't listen. You may, and that is the problem with the holiness churches. They boast in the ability to live this holy living, but teach them water baptism in the name of Jesus, they cannot see it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Simple things. Amen. Luther, what do you call him? John Wesley was holy. Very, very holy. And it was acceptable before God. But now see righteousness. Now he moved to the 1906 Azusa Street Revival and brought the gifts. Those who holy. Do you see holiness believing churches? Do you see them operate any gifts? They cannot understand the move of God in the speaking in tongue, in the manifestation of the Spirit in various ways, in prophecies. Check any holiness believing churches that you know, the big ones, and see whether they allow the Holy Ghost to move there. And when they refuse to allow God to move, when he was restoring the gifts, God moved away from them, and they are as dead as anything, living moral life and thinking they were living a life of holiness. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why Christ, after he has spoken, he will answer, "He who has ear to hear." Because it is what you hear you will act on. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is righteousness. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Ephesians 2:20 says so. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Oh, oh, oh. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Cornerstone. So that you'll understand righteousness. If he's the chief cornerstone, he's the one to tell you when to bend. If you refuse to bend in the building of his church, and you are going forward, when he has bent, you are on your own. You are on your own. Praise the Lord. That's why he said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Who do you know him to be? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In our Rapture Watch series, I kept emphasizing this. Amen. That the last thing that you will do to your Christian journey, the most dangerous thing that you can do to your Christian journey, I repeat, because you are hearing me all over the world now, Bride of Jesus Christ, the most dangerous thing you can do to your Christian faith is to think you have arrived in the realm of revelation so much until you put a full stop. When you put a full stop, amen, you are saying God has finished his revelation. Full stop will come only after we have gone in the rapture. Oh, glory be to God. Full stop will come only after we have gone in the rapture. Even then, this is when full stop will come in the divine agenda. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25, 26, 27, 28. Let's read it. This is where you find the end of all things. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Watch verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And this will happen after the millennial reign. After the 1,000 years reign and the white throne judgment, because the judgment is committed to the Son, the Father judgeth no man. Hallelujah. All judgment, everything, including being put in hellfire, he is both a savior and a judge. Oh, glory be to God. Listen, church, who is Jesus Christ? John the Baptist introduced him. He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. That fire there in the context written there is not the one you feel. Fire, fire. It is the one in the white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. He is the one that we baptize this one with fire. But he's also the Savior. He is the one that will also baptize us with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is to enable us to go to heaven. The fire to cleanse this earth and rearrange it and bring back the whole earth to how it intended to be. Amen. Praise God. This world will soon come to an end. We are talking now. You are thinking we are doing religion. Very soon, everything is pointing to it, that the end is here. Listen, this Jesus, amen. There's a series we are taking in our Rapture Watch series that we title Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. The scriptures are written, if you don't place them, you'll be confused. But see the ministry of Jesus Christ. See the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, in John chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, from verse 16, let's read it. And he came to Nazareth, listen very well, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it is written. Now go, let's hold on here. This is where they opened for him. It's Isaiah 61. I want you to understand something here. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and verse 2. This is where he opened. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2. To proclaim, there are two things the Spirit of God is upon him to fulfill in verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Let me put in three things there. Comforting those that mourn, the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance. Now, you can see that these three things are there, lined up in verse 2. That was the verse you opened, Luke chapter 4, verse 17. So I want you to catch something, those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophets, Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That is verse 1 of Isaiah 61. Now, he got to verse 2, which is our verse 19 here. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He did not complete on the day of vengeance. He only quoted this part, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's read on, please. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. He didn't finish reading it. In the middle of a scripture, he stopped. They were looking at him, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fasting on him. Note verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Which scripture? The proclamation, hallelujah, praise the Lord, of the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the day of salvation. The wise shall understand. Amen. His ministry now is the ministry, hallelujah, the acceptable year. That is the time that God will accept you coming to him to reconcile with him. After he has finished, he will come to fulfill the second part of that verse 2. The day of vengeance. And that day he will read it again and say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears and eyes. The other one is in your ears. This one will be in your eyes. Because you will see the fire. Oh, praise the Lord. This is how Peter put it. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. The period that Christ is referring to. Verse 10. The day of vengeance. But the day of the Lord, that is that day, will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up with fire. Fire will rain upon this earth one of these days. A foretaste of it, it rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. So it is possible for fire to come from above. Fire will fall on this earth. But before the fire will fall, mercy is projected. People are joking over it. They are playing religion. They are doing pastors as if they are doing pastor a favor by coming to his church. Of course, when pastors are preaching church, why wouldn't people think like that? When pastors are struggling for members, why wouldn't members do like that? People are no more one to Jesus Christ. They are one to become church members. People know nothing anymore about salvation other than what their church is and who their church is and what the church. But one of these days, that is what this inspired that song. Judgment is coming. All will be there.
Each one receiving justice is due. I did not send it. Sinless in God and pass. And I will pass. Prepare.
I will pass.
Over you.
Over you. The blood. The second thing that you can do, the first one I say, is to believe that revelation is over. You are finished. He will leave you behind and he's going with those who want to go with him in the spirit of revelation. Praise God. The second one, which is another deadly one, amen, is to see a Christian that is, you know, obviously on the pathway of hell, doing something that can cost his soul. And you're telling him or her, if the rapture strikes now in this your estate, will you go? And he will tell you, I know how I walk with my God. I'm sure I will go. No one can help you again. It's the highest level of carnality. Amen. When somebody says your cloth that is white is stained, you say, hey, it doesn't matter. It matters. A white cloth should not be stained. That's why it is white. Anywhere you go, they will tell you stain. They will see the stain. Anywhere you go, they see the stain. What you should do is, hey, is it cleanable? Can you help me to clean it? Accept your estate as a weakness. That is why the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Tell them that is my only problem. That is my only problem. Help me and pray and be sincere over it. Be sincere. Because Apostle Paul called it besetting sin. It stops you from moving forward with God. You want to move forward, it will drag you back. Deal with it. If not, it will deal with you. If you don't deal with you, it will destroy you. Face every weakness. I was coming to church. Somebody called my number from somewhere, I don't know. He said, Pastor, I have my spiritual life. If I want to pray, I cannot pray. I want to do something, I cannot. I don't know what the problem is. I want to... Well, he said it. I said, brother, every problem you have is a prayer point. I say, stop the prayer you want to pray and face your inability to pray. Say, Lord, help me. I want to pray. I cannot pray. Lord, help me. And don't say, oh, I want to pray. I feel. Then you stand up and go. Have you solved the problem? Say, Lord, I don't know why I'm not able to pray, but help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I repeat, church, I will continue to sing it until the day God will take me home. That one of these days, you will not hear any sermon again. Mercy will be over. Right now, Jesus is sitting on the mercy seat, pleading for us. That's why, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you now. He's in the ministry of the high priest, interceding for you and for me, sitting on the mercy seat, the right hand of the Father, knowing what we go through. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if you refuse and you swim in your iniquity and continue like that, what other help will he give you? The next thing you're waiting for is judgment. He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Holy Ghost for the acceptable year of the Lord. Fire for the day of vengeance. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bolster to be your pillow? Hallelujah. You know what I mean by, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? John was always putting his head in the chest of Jesus. Hallelujah. He loved him. And if you read the history of what John went through, how he finally died, praise the Lord. How he suffered, but it could not change his testimony. He loved Jesus. Hallelujah. He loved Jesus. He wanted to be with him by all means. I believe that is where that songwriter got his inspiration. Oh, my loving brother,
when the world's on fire, don't you want God's answer to be your pillow? I belong in the rock of ages, rock of ages, left for me.
Oh, my loving sister.
Oh, my loving sister, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's closer to be your pillow? Rock of ages, for me.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So man, the law could not help man. Nothing could help man. Amen. Nothing could help man. And Apostle Paul made it clear in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, 2, 3, 4. For the law, well, it was only having a shadow of good things to come because it's imperfect. And not the very image of the things. Can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect at all. For then, if it was going to make you perfect, for them will they not have ceased to be offered? Because why did God come to end it? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins. Every year they were doing the same sacrifice because, why? For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sins. The blood of animal, there is nothing in it to help a sinner to live a life pleasing before God. It was atoning for their sins temporarily. Just they were just enjoying mercy. It was just mercy. God made provision for them. You commit any sin, okay, this is the law. Get an animal, instead of you to die, transfer the debt to the animal. But there is nothing in the blood of that animal that can stop that sinner from committing sin. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's continue that scripture. Let's continue that scripture. Wherefore, when he, the creator of the heavens and the earth, when he cometh into the world, this was his announcement. He said, sacrifice and offering is over. No more sacrifices, no more offering. What are you to do? But a body has thou prepared me. Oh, glory be to God. A body have thou prepared me. Where did he prepare that body? He prepared that body in the womb of a virgin, Mary. And with that body, hallelujah, that body was announced by John the Baptist. This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The difference between this Lamb of God by himself, God provided the Lamb by himself. Oh, glory be to God. The difference between the life, there is a life in the blood of the Son of God. Hallelujah. There is something there in that blood that was not in the blood of an animal. When a sinner therefore comes, hallelujah, on the merit of that blood, identifies with that blood. Amen. Amen. There is a life that is in that blood. That life is eternal life. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said he came to his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, what did he do? He gave them what? Power to become the Son of God. The power to become a son of God is that power that is released that can change a sinner to a saint. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That is the reason why I made this statement some few years back. And that statement still stands today. When a young man told me, do you mean, Pastor, all these powerful men of God, that was the way he said during question and answer, all these powerful men of God, are you saying that they don't know this, they don't know that? Are you saying they are wrong? And I quickly answered him like Jesus Christ answered that guy that came and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus corrected him before he answered the question. He said, call no man good. No man is good except the Father. Only God is good. What is good in a human being? We are all sinners. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. David said we came to this world speaking lies, no truth in us. I answered him, I said, who is a powerful man of God? Who is a powerful man of God? Amen. I say it. Amen. Do you want it? Do you want it? Take it. Who? Boy, you fall down, Abby. Very anointed. Thank God for that. I have seen a man that is so powerful with my eyes. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. And that man is T.B. Joshua. Years back, I was there in one of the services to confirm before my eyes. I saw deliverance without the man talking, do hand only, cancer burst out. I saw fibroid drop on the ground with my eyes. Then we were just a few months old as a church. And the Pentecostals and everybody were abusing him. They were calling him all manner of names. And some ministers in my church here, they come to the altar, they want to repeat what those people are saying. And I came and said, anybody that speak against the anointing on TB Joshua, you will not preach in this church again. I saw it myself. I don't understand. But Koro, I cannot deny that power. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At that time, oh, I saw it. Amen. Listen, I have had testimonies all around the world. I have seen somebody that preached, I mean, somebody's leg that was, it grew, the leg grew back. I have seen the blind, a minister pray for somebody, blind eye open, paralyzed person stood up. Not this RNG that modern day Pentecostal prophets are doing, raw. I said, I saw it with my eyes. Would you say that is a powerful man of God? And the church, anywhere there's a miracle, crowd will fool there. But unfortunately, because you don't know what the true power of God is, even all this can be impersonated by the devil. It is also a power from God. But this power that makes the blind to see, the cripples to walk, paralyzed to come back to life, is small power. Somebody call it, I call it small, small power. The power to make the dead rise from the dead. Wonderful power, but it's still small power. Because that man will die again one day. It's this small power. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah.